You're listening to SBS News.
The challenges posed by automation and artificial intelligence have long been regarded as issues of the distant future, but new research suggests they are closer than we might think. A report released by consulting firm McKinsey & Company this week estimates that 46% of all Australian jobs will begin to be automated by the year 2030. And while the potential benefits are huge, the costs could be too. The report predicts automation could add trillions of dollars to Australia's economy, but unemployment rates could grow by 2.5% if the transition is not handled properly. McKinsey associate partner Sechkin Unger says it's not a question of whether or not to automate.
What we need to think about is that this is already happening. There isn't really a do-nothing option here. Other countries are automating and they're doing it quickly. So to remain competitive in a global economy, we need to be embracing this too. Embracing it will mean, you know, there's an uplift to our economy of $1.1 to $4 trillion. I mean, that's a huge opportunity.
To the average worker, that multi-trillion dollar boost to the economy could translate into an extra $4,000 to $11,000 in extra income every year by 2030. While the McKinsey report says more new jobs will be created than old jobs lost, it insists Australia can only benefit from automation if its most vulnerable workers are accounted for. If that doesn't happen, the report predicts income inequality across the nation could rise by up to 30%. It recommends governments, employers, and educators start collaborating now to work out how vulnerable workers can begin learning new skills ahead of the shift. But Ms. Unger says that's easier said than done for some Australians, particularly those in regional areas.
Another vulnerable group, of course, are people who live in areas, again, where access to education and access to the diversity of employment that we find in metropolitan areas tends to be a bit more limited. We found that access to those opportunities and access to reskilling can be a challenge both physically and virtually if you live in regional Australia. Not to say that that can't be overcome, but it does make those people a bit more vulnerable.
As a result, the McKinsey report estimates job displacement would likely be 10% higher in regional and remote Australia than it would be in the cities. University of Tasmania demographer and research fellow Dr. Lisa Denny has been studying workforces, education and skills for the past 20 years. She says what sets automation apart from other significant workforce changes in history, like the agricultural and industrial revolutions, is that it won't only affect blue-collar or unskilled workers.
The key, I guess, to what can be done by either automation or by artificial intelligence is a job task that is either routine, repeatable, predictable, and requires a level of precision. Those sorts of things that are the same and can be done the same way each time. So that first started with automation in the manufacturing sector, but now it's being introduced into those more professional white-collar roles where you have administrative and clerical roles or legal support roles, accounting support roles. Those sorts of roles are also starting to be replaced or complemented by artificial intelligence.
The effects of automation on white-collar workers were seen just last year when the National Australia Bank began letting go of 6,000 staff members. That's 25% of its total staff, because their roles could be automated. Dr. Denny says research is also predicting another unprecedented workforce shift as a result of the automation revolution. Men will be more at risk than women.
The phenomenon of the disappearing working man is actually real. The industries that are being most affected are the traditionally dominated by male occupations. Where the jobs growth is occurring is predominantly in those knowledge technology sectors, which are unisex sorts of jobs, but also in the care sector, which is predominantly dominated by females. So therefore, we really need to start supporting young men in helping them think of alternative career pathways that may not be the traditional ones that their fathers and their grandfathers followed.
At the Centre for Future Work in Sydney, researchers have been busy studying trends around employment, job quality, skills, training, and globalisation. The centre's economist and director, Jim Stanford, says there is not much point to using buzzwords like retraining and upskilling if workers are not included in the decision-making process.
We've been studying the power imbalance between employers and workers in Australia's economy. And that's where I think the key problem lies. It isn't in technology and robots and artificial intelligence. Technology is changing, but it has always been changing. What we really see that's different today is workers who have no say, no ability to negotiate with their employers, no ability to influence how technology is applied and who benefits from it. If that was there, then the new technology wouldn't be such a threat. People would actually latch onto it as an opportunity.
As for Australia's most at-risk communities, Mr. Stanford says inequality will only grow if they are not included in Australia's plan for the future.
The problem with people in regional communities is not that they lack the skills or the opportunity for upgrading. Far from it. The key problem is that the business community is not investing enough in regional Australia to create the new jobs that those people could fill. There's an incredible concentration of new work that's occurring in Australia. Almost all the new jobs are being created in the major cities, and that means regional communities are left out in the cold.
Claudia Farhart, SBS News.
If you enjoyed this, you can find more SBS features on our website or from your favourite podcaster like iTunes, Spotify, Acast, Stitcher or Wooshka.